Take your Bibles now, if you will, and let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 today. We'll get back to our series on the decline of America next week. I know some of you are real excited about that. But today I wanted to come apart from that to talk about the ordinance of the Lord's Supper, about what some call communion. We do this once a year on Sunday morning, because of many of our senior saints who cannot drive at night, and we want them to be able to participate in it most of the time. The other three or four times, four or five, whatever we do, we usually do at night. But we want to have communion or the Lord's Supper in just a few moments right after the message. But I think it's good to remind people of what it's about, because a lot of folks don't understand it. They've been mistaught, undertaught, whatever, and they really don't understand exactly what's going on in the Lord's Supper. They don't, in some cases, understand the reverence that should be associated with it. Sometimes you see a lot of smiles, a lot of giggling, a lot of that. No, it's a very important ordinance of the church, and it has deep meaning. That song went right with it. That song was exactly what it's all about, really. The shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the broken body of the Lord Jesus Christ. He that knew no sin became sin for us, that we through him might be made the righteousness of God. But looking here at our text, we have the occasion where it really started out. 1 Corinthians 11, and we begin with verse 23. The writer said, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks," that's not a bad practice, by the way, folks, to give thanks before we eat. "When he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup which he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it." God never said you had to do it every week or every month or how often, but as oft as you drink it. Should be often enough to remember it. "But as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself," and that's generic, let a man, a woman, a Christian, let a person examine themselves, "and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning," not respecting, not understanding what it's about, not discerning the body of the Lord's body. "For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep," or many have died. "For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world." Now those are some verses that speak of the importance, the way we should approach the Lord's Supper, what it means, and the fact that it is an ordinance of the local church. It's not an ordinance of just a bunch of people meeting on the ocean and going into a motel room and say, "Hey, let's get some wine and have communion." That's not the biblical way to do it. And I've had some people who have told me that that's the way they did it. But the authority is given to the local New Testament church, the autonomous indigenous body, the local New Testament church. And we're just carrying out what the Lord taught us to do as he commanded us to do it in Matthew 28, 19 through 20, to teach the same thing. And that's what he taught. It's a picture. What we will do today is a picture. It's a reminder. Now, I know that so many of you, and most of you probably, have lost a loved one. At some point, you've experienced that. Raise your hand if you have. You've lost a loved one somewhere along the way. That's just about everybody here. It's just part of life, and we know that. But we also know that every once in a while, we go out and get some pictures of them. And we look at those pictures, and we'll put them out on the table or something, and we'll say, you remember when she did that? Remember when he did that? Oh, I remember that day. I remember that. Oh, I remember that fishing trip. Oh, I remember that vacation. I remember when Daddy was so sick, and maybe a picture of that, or Mother, whatever. And you get back and you look at those, and it stirs up some emotions and memory in you about some things that have taken place in the past. And that's what we're talking about today. We've got a picture out here, or a bunch of pictures, you might say, at least two main pictures. The grape juice, which we use, and also the wafers or the crackers that we use that are unleavened, which is a picture of the fact that Jesus did not sin. And so we have communion. We have the Lord's Supper, as we call it. It's a picture that should move us. Now let me explain to you, because some people think that the Lord's Supper has saving merit to it. There are denominations that teach transubstantiation and consubstantiation. Those two things are not taught in the Bible. They're just not there. It may sound like it when you first read a few verses, but when you put the proper way of interpreting the scriptures to it, and you interpret all scripture in light of other scripture, you know that it is never talking about that really happening. Therefore, it is not really a sacrament, as many people call it. I prefer to call it the Lord's Supper. I don't mind some calling it communion, but I don't like for people to say it's the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, because it is not a sacrament. It is not a sacrament. The Latin word for sacrament comes from the Latin words, actually three of them, hoc est corpus meus. Now let me tell you how the children would say that, and I'm not joking about this. This is how children would say it today, the hocus pocus, and it turns into magic. I do some little tricks with some kids, and I say hocus pocus, and I don't know what all I say, and I act like that I make a dime disappear, and all kinds of things like that. And that's just a bunch of hocus pocus. Now don't tell your children. I want them to love the pastor, and I want to have some fun with them. All right? But it's just, that's really what it's talking about. It would be hocus pocus. In other words, the priest says a few words over it, and it becomes literally the actual body of Jesus Christ, and literally the actual blood of Jesus Christ. Or if it's consubstantiation, they believe it's part the body of Christ and part wafer, and part the actual blood of Christ and part wafer. And by taking in those elements, it has saving merit to you, and has part to do with your sins being forgiven. Dear friend, that is a terrible, terrible miscommunication and misunderstanding of Bible doctrine and the way you get saved. Right. You don't get saved by taking these elements. It has absolutely nothing to do with forgiving your sins or saving you. Nothing whatsoever to do with that. It does depict the truth of it, but it does not do that. And so what it really is according to the scripture, the Bible tells us that it is a memorial. That's the thing that it is for us today. It is a memorial, and God presents it that way. And he tells us that in this memorial of the depicting the shed blood in the broken body of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have the true picture of what salvation really is. And he tells us to keep practicing this until the Lord comes. Notice in verse 26, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." We are depicting something. We're showing his death till he comes. By the way, that tells us something too, doesn't it? We do it until he comes. How many of you believe he's coming again? I do, amen. God bless you, because he is coming again. We're to continue this practice as a local church ordinance until Jesus comes again. Keep doing it in memory of what he has done. But thank God he is coming again. And I'm glad that we are challenged in the Word of God to constantly be looking for the imminent return of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are no signs that have to be fulfilled now for the rapture of the church. There are some, the ones that are mentioned, have to do with his coming back with the church to set up his kingdom. But we know he's coming again. And we need to be ready for his coming in every way. And then he tells us that we ought to examine ourselves. That's part of it. In verse 28, very important. And what he is saying here is, don't take it lightly. Let's back up to verse 27. Let's look at that. "Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily." Now let me just capitalize on that word just a moment. Park there a second. None of us are worthy of the Lord's table. We know that. None of us are worthy of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you say, "I'm worthy of it and I earned it and I got it and all that," no, you're not worthy of it. Nobody's worthy of it. But what he's talking about is, don't partake of it lightly, and don't partake of it as if it's not a serious matter, and therefore giving the impression that it's an unworthy thing, and that it's an unworthy thing for you to take and participate in as a believer. Don't partake of it unworthily. And I think what he's saying is, do some heart searching. We're not worthy, but we need to, in our hearts, be right with God before we take the Lord's Supper. We need to be right and not take it lightly and not take it unworthily with the wrong attitude, I think is what he's saying. So we need to examine ourselves, verse 28. "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup." So that we do not take it unworthily, so that we do not take it lightly and just say, "Well, I've got sin in my life and I don't care, and I'm going to keep living the way I want to live and I don't care. I'm going to go ahead and take communion. I'm going to go ahead and take the Lord's Supper." That's taking it lightly and unworthily. But examine yourself. And while I'm preaching this message, I hope the Spirit of God speaks to your heart about anything in your life you need to examine yourself as we're going through this message, to see if there's anything that's not right. That sin that doth so easily beset you, do you have that taken care of? Have you gained the victory over that? The Bible says that we're not to partake of it unworthily. We're to examine ourselves. So take the examination today and see if your heart is really, thoroughly, totally right with God. If you have a short account of own sin and you're confessed, that means see it as God sees it and repent of it, and you've turned away from your practice of sin in your life, then I think you can partake of it worthily, though none of us are totally worthy of taking it. Now he says, if you don't do that, look at verse 29. Very serious matter. It really is, folks. "For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." In other words, there are some repercussions to partaking of the Lord's Supper unworthily. Now, I'm not trying to make you feel like you shouldn't take it, but I'm trying to point out that if there are things in your life, then the thing to do is hit the altar before the Lord's Supper today and say, talk these things over with the Lord and make those things right before you do it. And a lot of people say, "Well, I'll tell you what, I know there's sin in my life, so I'm just not going to take the Lord's Supper. I don't want to take it unworthily." You're missing the whole point. I mean, you're missing the whole thing. You say, you think people ought to pat you on the back because you don't take it? No, that's just advertising that you know there's something in your life and you're not concerned enough about it to come to the altar and get it right before you partake of the Lord's Supper. That's not what we're talking about at all. We want you to partake of the Lord's Supper, but I'm just telling you what the Bible clearly says and what it is clear about, and you have to let the Spirit of God deal with you about any of those things in your life, and we don't need to go over the list of all those sins. The Spirit of God tells you what's wrong in your life. You know very well if there are things in your life you need to be correcting right now. Some bad habit or some good habit you've stopped, like Bible reading, devotions, your prayer life. And a prayerless Christian is a person that has sin in their lives. Prayerlessness is a sin. Amen? Let me say that one more time. You got to read your Bible once in a while. Prayerlessness is a sin. Amen? Amen? It is. And so we have to deal with all of that and work on it. Now, he says, it shows that we're not discerning the body of Christ. And look at some of the results that come. For this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. And what he's saying is, the result that can happen to people who make light of and partake of the Lord's Supper unworthily is that they can have very serious, one of the difficulties is they can have very, very serious physical problems in their life because they are partaking of it unworthily. That's what the Bible says. That's exactly what it says. For this cause, what cause? For this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. That doesn't mean all of you that are sleeping right now are right with God, but it means they are dead. They died in Christ. They went to sleep in Christ. And it's a very serious thing. I don't know at what point. God knows. And there is a sin unto death, and God knows that. But I'm just simply saying this matter of partaking of the Lord's Supper is not only to remind us of what He has done and the fact that He's coming again, but it's to remind us that our lives ought to be right with God, that we should be walking in fellowship and communion with the Lord. And that's all part of it. So we don't need to partake of it unworthily. We need to examine ourselves. If not, we have some results of it, and that is that because we are God's children, He chastens us, and He will spank us, and He will humble us until we make these things right in our lives. Now let's go back to this point of those that are unsaved that are here today. Some of you have never made peace with God through Jesus Christ. You've never gotten saved. You never got the real thing. And no doubt there probably are some people in a congregation this large, there's a possibility that some of you have been depending on these other things. In your past, your religious affiliation, your denominational affiliation, and you have felt like that as you partook of the Lord's Supper, that it helped save you or move your sins forward to the next time, and you partaken of it again, and it moves them forward to the next time. And maybe you've been taught that, and you think that it has saving merit. I'm here to remind you it does not have whatsoever. But it's a precious thing. You see, you don't need the ordinance in order to be saved. You're not saved by that ordinance. But here's salvation. 1 Corinthians 15, listen to it. Paul, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, very crystal clear about it. Well, let me just go back to verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. What's the gospel? The good news, the gospel. The gospel truth, which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. Now watch what he says in verse 3. For I delivered unto you first of all, and he's talking about the gospel, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins. That's what Tori was singing about a while ago. that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. All of the Old Testament prophets, so many of them, touched on Jesus Christ dying for our sins. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone unto his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity. Jehovah God hath laid on Jesus the iniquity of us all. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures. And that he was buried, and that he arose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. Amen. There it is. Jesus Christ, here, this is like all of the weight of my sin, all of my guilt, everything in there, every commandment that's ever been broken. If you've broken one, you're guilty of all, the Bible says, because it's a chain link, and you break one link, you broke the chain. Lying, stealing, adultery, having false gods in our life, whatever it may be, all of the sins that you've ever committed, all of your list, and here it is. I am under the weight of my sin. I'm guilty. But here's Jesus over here on the cross. What in the world is he doing on the cross? Why in the world did his Father send him? Why is he allowing him to suffer like that and for 3 hours be separated from his Father? Why? Because he who knew no sin became sin for us. He took my dirty, rotten sins on himself that day, and yours too, friend. He paid it all. He paid every sin debt. All of my sins, past, present, and future, thank God, are under the blood. Amen. And I can't be unborn again if I tried to be no more than your child can be unborn to you. It's the blood that was shed. Precious blood. I believe that blood's in heaven today. The precious blood of Jesus Christ. And his broken body, not his broken bones. The prophecy was fulfilled exactly. But his broken body, the agony and the pain, not just because he was a martyr to a cause, but he was a redeemer, a propitiator. He was a sacrifice, a substitute, the one who died for our sins. Oh, what a Savior. Do you know him as your Savior today? Have you trusted Christ and Christ alone as your Savior? Don't trust your baptism. Don't trust those other things. Don't trust your grandma and grandpa's religion. I've had people say, oh, my mama and my daddy are Christians, or my grandma and grandpa are Baptists and all of that, as if that's going to take them to heaven. Friend, you've got to be born again. Nicodemus was a good man. Nicodemus practiced a lot of the law. If you and I had the list that that Jewish man had, we would be bragging about it and proud of ourselves every day if we went down that list. But Jesus said to Nicodemus, you've got to be born again. Born by the Spirit of God, born from above, because you are spiritually dead. And that's the reason sometimes you can't live the life. It's hard for you. It's difficult. Not that we don't have problems as Christians. We do have challenges. But there's some people just say, well, I don't know. And the problem may be, it could be, that you've never really had Christ come into your heart. Because I can tell you this, my friend, whether you're 7 or 8 like some we've seen saved and baptized, or whether you're 80 or 90, when Christ comes into your life is different. The Holy Spirit moves in and you're a changed individual. But it all goes back to the cross. Let's stand, please. After a while, we're going to have the Lord's Supper. And we invite those who have been saved and scripturally baptized and of like faith to join in with us in the Lord's Supper. But I want you to examine yourself. You may just have other prayer needs. That doesn't mean that you're an awful sinner because you're going to come to the altar this morning. But I certainly would if I felt that need and the Spirit of God dealt with me. But especially if you're not sure you're saved, not 100% for sure you're going to heaven, I want you to come and receive Christ. Workers will be here ready to deal with you, ready to pray with you without embarrassing you. Don't let the devil keep you from getting saved. Don't let a friend with you or anybody else or pride or anything keep you from that. Come, make things right with the Lord. Others are already coming. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you that Jesus went to the cross. Oh, how we thank you that he took our place and shed His blood and His body was broken for us. We might have the assurance of knowing for sure that we're going to heaven. If there's someone here that doesn't have that today, I pray that that man or woman, boy or girl, that teenager might come forward and receive Christ as Savior before it's eternally too late. And then, Lord, as Christians, help us to search our hearts. Whatever You've spoken to us about, help us to be honest with it, deal with it, before we have the Lord's Supper. We pray and ask all of this now in Jesus' name.